Okay, we come to lesson 10 this morning. Two key topics of the Bible, the eternal life and the believers. And I like to start by giving you a verse. This is 1 Corinthians 15:19. If it is only that we have hope in Christ in this life, we are of all men most miserable. Let me read that again. If it is only that we have hope in Christ in this life, we are of all men most miserable. You know, as Christians or as believers, sometimes you feel we're the most miserable people in the world. Well, in a sense, we are, if you don't realize what you have received. You know, to a lot of people, what they think, when they think of God and when they think of the Bible, they right away think that God wants them to be a good person, to improve themselves, to live a better life, to improve their human life. But we need to realize that God is a God of life. But this life is not our human life. Our human life is but a vessel to receive the divine life. And the Bible is also a book of life. It's not merely a book of doctrines or ethics or morals to improve our human behavior. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I want to relate a little story that happened to us 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I had a brother. Actually, it's that brother right there, Raphael. He came from Poland, and he came over and stayed with us. So I was showing him how to take the New York subway to Manhattan. So we were there, I was explaining to him the subway map, how to go about in different places, and here comes a lady, a Jewish lady. And he was like looking at us, and he says, oh, where are you going? And then Raphael tell him, you know, we're going to such and such a place. We're going to see the Statue of Liberty. So we had some conversation with this lady, and then she said, oh, where are you from? You're from Poland. So she got very interested, so she asked Raphael, well, what do you want to do when you finish your college? What's your going life, kind of? And I appreciate Raphael's boldness. Raphael says, I want to preach the gospel to everyone I meet. I want to go around the world and just share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. That kind of stunned that lady a little bit. And she said, well, you know, actually, I'm a clergy person in the synagogue that I go to. So she talked to us about the law. She talked about, you know, different things about faith. And we were there trying to share with her that it is not by work that we can please God. It is by believing into this wonderful person, Jesus Christ. But in the midst of our conversation, she made this statement, you know? And she made this particular statement. She said, you know what happened when you add an O to God? You get good, right? You know, that's what we need to be. That's who we need to be. We need to be good persons, you know? We're just on this life war. I don't believe that she believes in resurrection. So to her, this is it. The life that we live on the earth, that's it. And the goal of her life is just to be a good person. And I would say that's very common to all the people on the earth, including many of us. But we need to realize that God is not out to make you good. He wants to make you God. Amen. So, you know, when I heard that statement, right away I said, I'm going to tell you a provoking statement. I said, you know what? God has become a man in order that man may become God. And she was also stunned a little bit. But then we further explained, you know, we could never be good in ourselves. You know, if you want to please God, you can never make it by obeying the law, by following everything to the letters. But God wants to give you your life, His life, Amen. To make you a child of God. Amen. You know, I have four children. They're a little grown up now, right? So because they have the human life, I expect them to be successful, proper human beings. I would not expect my dog, I don't have a dog, but if I have a dog, I would not expect my dog to become, to do something that a human being does. So in order for us to be God, we have to receive God's life. Amen. So the first point on this lesson is on the important topic of eternal life. So we need to know, what is the eternal life? What life are we talking about here? Now, we have all been born of our parents, and we have the human life. We have the physical life, which in Greek word is bios. We have this physical life. We also have a psychological life. That's something that you don't see, but it's very real to you. That's your personality. That's a suke life. But we were not born with the divine life, the Zoe life. In Ephesians 4:18, it says that being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance which is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. So every human being, God has created us in his image, after his likeness, but we were not born with the life of God. And God desired to give us that life. So the life that we're talking about here is the uncreated, indestructible, the incorruptible, divine life of God. And it is a miracle that we can receive such a life. And this life is not something separate from God. This life is actually God himself. Yesterday in our lesson on the triune God and on the lesson on Christ, we see that Christ is the very embodiment of the triune God. He is God becoming flesh. And he went through a process. Through death and resurrection, he is now the life-giving spirit. He's ready to dispense the divine life into us. So I have another two verses. 1 John 5:12 and 13. It says, he who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. I have written these things to you that you may know that you have eternal life, to you who believe into the name of the Son of God. So here we see, from these two verses, we see that the divine life of God is nothing separate from the Son of God. So we don't just receive something from God. We actually receive this wonderful person, the Son of God, into us when we are regenerated. So God's intention is that he would give us this life, that we will receive this life, and we will grow in this life. And the process of receiving this life is through believing into him. I believe everyone here has received the Lord, and we need to be very clear. When we are burdened to share the gospel with our friends, when we're burdened for people to also receive salvation, we have to help them to believe, and that is to receive the life of God. Another two verses. John 1:12 and 13 says, but as many as receive him, to them he gave the authority to become children of God, to those who believe into his name, who were begotten not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. We have all been born of our parents, but we have also been born of God by receiving the Lord Jesus into us. So when we believe him, he has come into us, and this is called regeneration. And I'd like you to write down a simple definition of regeneration. Regeneration is, in addition to our human life, we receive another life, comma, the life of God. So I'll read that one more time. Regeneration is, in addition to our human life, we receive another life, the life of God. So it's a different life. And with our human life, we have certain capability and potentials. With the divine life, there's even more. So often the mistake that we are making is we try to live our Christian life still by our natural life. Therefore, we are frustrated, we are disappointed, we're discouraged, because we can't seemingly to meet the standard of what God has set before us. But actually, with that standard, God has given us a full supply, and that is His divine life. So don't forget that you are a son of God, you are a regenerated person. Don't try to live the Christian life by your natural life. We have to learn to live by the divine life. Amen. Okay. So let's go to B. How about let's have all the ninth graders read point one. B is on the Apostle Paul charge us to lay hold on this eternal life. How about let's have all the ninth graders read 1, 10th graders A, 11th grader B, and 12th grader on C. Let's read this portion. Amen. Amen. Okay, 10th graders. Amen. Amen. 11th grade. Amen. 12th graders, C.
That in the eternal age, that is, in the new heaven and the new earth, with the new Jerusalem as the center, the eternal life will eventually be the consummated gift for all God's redeemed people to manifest the triune God for eternity.
Amen. So from the Bible regarding the eternal life, we see verses that refers to these three stages in God's economy. And we're in this present stage, the church age, where we can receive eternal life.
Amen.
So we have, praise the Lord, I have received the eternal life.
Amen.
And the door is still open for our friends, for those we care about, to receive this eternal life. We're in this age of grace where God has allowed us to hear the gospel, and by repenting and by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, we can receive this divine life. And by receiving this divine life, we're also growing in the divine life so that we can experience all the riches of God. But there will be a next age which commands at the Lord's coming back, in the kingdom age. And in that age, it says that there are some people that will enter into eternal life. And these refer to the sheep in Matthew chapter 25. You know, when the Lord come back, He will judge those who are living at His coming back, those who have not received Him yet, and those who treat the Christians and the Jewish people well. They're the sheep, and they will enter into eternal life. They will enter into the millennial kingdom as a sphere of eternal life. But we who have received the Lord as our life in this age, now if you grow in this life, you mature in this life, that age will be a reward to you. You will enjoy more abundant of the eternal life of God. And then in the eternal age, that is in the New Jerusalem, with the new heaven and new earth, the eternal life will be a manifestation of all those who have received God's life as a centerpiece. At the New Jerusalem will be the centerpiece of the new heaven and new earth as a full manifestation of God's life in his glory. So today, we have received this life. We need to grow in this life, and we need to bring people, help people to receive this life. Amen. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, 12, let's read this verse together. Can we turn to the next page? And then in your memory verse, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold on the eternal life to which you were called and have confessed a good confession before many witnesses. So here Paul is encouraging Timothy, his young co-worker, to lay hold on the eternal life. And the background of this verse is somewhat discouraging, because many churches that Paul has raised up, they have left Paul's ministry, and they didn't care for Paul that much. So the church in general is going in a downward trend. It's in a decline. Many people have left the center of God's economy, and they pay attention to different things, to doctrines, to genealogies, to things that they're interested to tickle their ears. But Paul here encourages young co-worker Timothy to lay hold of the eternal life. So we need to also lay hold of the eternal life. There may be time that you feel discouraging, disappointed about the things around you or about yourself. But never forget that you have the eternal life. This eternal life is indestructible and is incorruptible. It cannot be brought down. How about you write this sentence? I really enjoy this. Though we may experience discouragement and disappointment, though we may experience discouragement and disappointment, the eternal life is never defeated. Eternal life is never defeated. Never down. And ever living and vigorous to bring us to the goal of God's salvation, the New Jerusalem. Amen. Let me read that one more time. Though we may experience discouragement and disappointment, the eternal life is never defeated, never down, and ever living and vigorous to bring us to the goal of God's salvation, the New Jerusalem. Yes. Okay, one more time. Though we may experience discouragement and disappointment, the eternal life is never defeated, never down, and ever living and vigorous to bring us to the goal of God's salvation, the New Jerusalem. You know, hearing some of your testimonies, I think a few testimonies, the brothers mentioned that they feel like a hypocrite and they don't want to be a hypocrite. And many times that's how we feel. We feel we are You know, a hypocrite is someone who pretends to be someone who he is not, right? So I'm not that way, and I pretend to be that kind of person. But young people, I want to encourage you, you are not a hypocrite, because you have the divine life in you. You are a believer. You receive this divine life through believing, right? John 1:12 tells us that he who receives has been begotten of God. That is those who believe into his name. So for us to believe is to receive this divine life. And you need to continue to be believers. No, we're not asking you. You know, if you try to live the Christian life by your own life, that is miserable. But that is not being hypocritical. What you just need to remember is you need to turn. Amen. You need to lay hold of the eternal life that's within you. When you touch that life will energize you. So for us, it's not a matter of being a hypocrite. We have two lives. We have our natural life within us, and we have the divine life within us. Don't try to add the old to God. Remember all the time, what God is doing is to take your extra old out to make you God. He doesn't want you to be good merely. He wants you to be God. So remember that. If you feel discouraged, feel disappointed, remember there's something in you that's never defeated, that can never be brought down. When we touch a divine life, when we're energized by the divine life, we can go on in God's salvation. So when we come to the Word, don't forget that the Word is full of the element, full of the energy of the divine life to supply us. Amen. So be a believer. Amen. You're not a hypocrite, but be a believer. Amen. Maybe we can sing, "It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me."
Well, I'd just like to introduce myself for those that don't know who I am. My name is Brian Rocha, and I was born in born in Long Beach, California, raised in Florida, and now I live in Boston, and I serve full-time in Boston. And so I've been living in Boston for about 5 years now, and I think now I'm a Bostonian. I think I'm a Bostonian now. Kind of drive like them, you know, walk like that. When I first moved to Boston, I walked really slow because, you know, in Florida, everything's laid back. And so, but when I got to Boston, everybody's rushing. And so now I walk fast. So I grew up going to truth schools just like you all. And I grew up going to conferences. And one thing that I realized that after attending a truth school or, you know, a conference, I would go back home. And my friends would ask me, "What did you do, bro? What did you do during the weekend? Or what did you do during the summer?" And you guys have this experience too, right? I would say, I read the Bible. You know, I sang some songs. You know, I would say whatever came up in my mind. But never would I really tell them what I really did. You know, because there was something in me that didn't want everyone to know that I was a Christian. And so even going to the grocery store, you know, with my dad, we would go out in the grocery store, you know, and we're in the line to just purchase our things, and the cashier is standing there, you know, doop, doop, you know, marking everything. And then all of a sudden, my dad would just ask the cashier, just, I thought there were random questions, but my dad would ask, what's your name? Even though they have a name tag. What's your name? Oh, Rebecca. My name is Rebecca. He's like, oh, what a beautiful name. And then all of a sudden, he would just start preaching the gospel to this cashier. And I'm standing there, I'm just, you know, I just want to buy my things and just go, just leave. But for some reason, there was, in my being, there was just, I was just embarrassed to be a Christian, embarrassed to be a believer. And so in Acts chapter 26, I'd just like to go through Acts 26. You have Paul. Paul finally gets an opportunity to defend himself in front of King Agrippa, you know, and so King Agrippa allows Paul to defend himself, and Paul considers this a very blessed thing to do, because this is the king, and I was really impressed with Paul's attitude towards the king. He was very bold, but he wasn't disrespectful, even though he was in chains, he was in bonds. And so Paul tells King Agrippa that he was part of the most religious sect that there could be. He was a Pharisee. He lived as a Pharisee. And he even persecuted believers, right? He persecuted Christians. He would lock them up. He was breathing out murder. He wanted to kill those who believed in Christ. And so he was there telling King Agrippa this, and as he's telling this to him, he even says, this is really touching, he says, at midday, when I saw, O King, he refers to the king as O King. What is this? He's very bold to tell King Agrippa what he was doing as a Pharisee, locking up Christians, putting them in prison. But then he refers to the one who has them in chains as, O King. And so I just was really impressed with this, because even though we may, these ones may persecute us, we still need a heart for man. Just like we heard last night, we still need a heart for man so that every man could receive the Lord Jesus. And so he says, O King, I fell to the ground and there was a great light. And the one from heaven spoke to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he responds, you know, you guys know this. He responds to him, you know, what does he say? Who are you, Lord? Right, who are you, Lord? And so as he's going through this, he's telling King Agrippa his experience of receiving salvation. And then he gets to, as he's speaking, Festus. It says here that Festus was a governor. And he says with a loud voice, he's like, Peter, he said, Paul, you are insane. You are insane. Why are you're learning too many things. You don't know what you're talking about. You are insane. You're speaking words of, I don't even know where you're bringing these out, these words out from, you know, your mind somewhere. And so he's telling Paul this. And then Paul just responds to him. He says, no. He says, excellent Festus. He even calls him excellent Festus. He says, no, the king knows what I'm talking about. The king knows what I'm talking about. And then he turns to the king, and he speaks to him, and he says, King Agrippa, don't you believe in the prophets? I know you believe. I know you believe. This is what he tells him. I know you believe. It's like our friends when they come to us, you know, we should just have a heart for them. And in our inward being, we should just say, what's your name? Raphael, I know you believe. I know you believe. We shouldn't condemn our friends. We shouldn't condemn the people out there. But just realize there can be a believing one who can enter into them so that they can have faith. And so, but then King Agrippa, his response to Paul was this. He says, and Agrippa replied to Paul, by so little are you trying to persuade me to become a Christian? And then Paul said, I would to God that both by little and by much, not only you, but also all those who hear me today might become even such as I am. And he says, except for these bonds. And so he was in shackles. And so he says, I would like everyone today, you, King Agrippa, and everyone who's hearing me today, to become a Christian. That's awesome. And so we should treasure this word Christian. You know, back in the day and even today, the word Christian is not something nice, you know. Back in the day, people were persecuted to be Christians. And even today, people are persecuted to believe in Jesus, because to be a Christian is to be a Christ follower. To be a Christ follower. And so even today, there's something in our being within. There's an adversary within that we don't like that. We don't like that word. We don't like to tell our friends that we are Christians. But let me tell you something. Even though the word Christian is so important, you know, it's in the Bible, but it's only mentioned 3 times in the Bible. Can you believe that? It's only mentioned 3 times. It's mentioned twice in Acts and 1 time in 1 Peter. That's it. But guess what? The word believer is mentioned so many times. It says he who believes everywhere, believes, believes, believer, everywhere you see the word believer. And so we must treasure that we are believers of Christ. Let's all say, I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
And so with a believer, it's not anything in ourselves that causes us to believe, but it's actually the, when we're under the hearing of faith, we are infused with faith, which is Christ himself, and Christ causes us to believe. He gives us the believing ability. And so it's all Christ being infused into us. And so with this, I'd like to give you guys 5 statuses of a believer. Okay? 5 statuses. And so one, this is believers. One, ambassador. Ambassador. 2, good seed. 3, branches. 4. Hope we see this. Priest. And then 5. Members. Okay, so I want to speak a little bit on members. So we're members of the body of Christ. And so in Romans 12, 4 and 5, it says that we are members one of another. And so I never realized this until later on in my Christian life, when I started reflecting on my experiences of Christ and my experiences of the body of Christ. And so the body of Christ, first of all, is not a type. And so a type, you can say the Lamb of God is a type, you know, because the Lord Jesus, he's not an actual lamb. You know that, right? He's not an actual lamb on the throne, you know, bad, no. No. And so, but he's typified as the Lamb of God because he's the one that took away our sins. In the Old Testament, they would shed, you know, blood from lambs to offer up as a sacrifice. In the New Testament, the Lord Jesus is the Lamb of God as our one unique sacrifice. And so, but the body of Christ is not a type. It's actually the body of Christ. It's him. And it's us. And so we are members one of another. And so as I was reflecting on some of my experiences, I realized, you know, when my family first moved from California to Florida, we didn't have anything. My parents sold everything. They just went with a wad of money in their pocket and a few boxes, and it was me and my older siblings. And I've said this before in another context, but we took a Greyhound bus all the way from Long Beach all the way to Orlando, Florida. And it took us about three days to get there. I was 6 months old, so you can only imagine. And right when we got to Orlando, guess who was waiting for us? Yeah, the saints. So it wasn't, we didn't know anybody. We've never met anybody in Florida, but we only knew someone because of phone calls, you know. And there was a brother waiting at the Greyhound bus station with a tray of Chinese food. He's just there. And so why was he doing that? I mean, he's never met us before. We've never met him before. But it's because we're members one of another. There's a life within us that connects us to the other members of the body of Christ. Another example, when I was 15 years old, some saints from Russia came to Orlando, and they stayed at my home. There was like four sisters, and one sister, she was elderly. She was very, I was about 15, so maybe she wasn't that old, but she looked like she was in her 70s. And her feet, I guess at home she usually walked around in sandals or in slippers. And so we had a tie on our house, and so she was walking around. And I could just tell she was uncomfortable. And so I had some sandals, and I just let her borrow my sandals. And then after the 2 weeks that they were at my, almost roughly around 2 weeks, they were leaving, and she was just looking at me, and she just asked me, "Can I have your sandals?" And I was, inwardly I was like, "Those are my only ones. Those are my only sandals." But actually, I don't know. I just gave her my sandals. And looking back, I didn't know this as being a 15-year-old. I didn't know anything. But looking back, the reason why, and I do believe this, is because we're members one of another. We're in the body of Christ. We're in a family. And so when one has a feeling, another one may have the same feeling. When one cries, the other one cries. Because we're members one of another.
Amen.
And so this is awesome that we're able to be in the body of Christ. And not only in the body of Christ, but we're in the household of God. And so we're in a family. And so, I just recently got a text message from a brother who just, I met him when he was a sophomore in college. And we've been, so he was not part of the church life, but we preached the gospel to him. And now, after several years of shepherding, of taking care with me and a group of others, now he's just sent me a text. He's like, "I was approved of to go to the full-time training." This brother, he comes from a whole nother continent. He comes from the Congo. And in the Congo, he's experienced so many things because it's not that safe there. And so he came to the U.S. to further his education. And guess what? He meets the brothers on campus. And then he enters into the church life. And now he's going to the full-time training.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
The best thing in the world that you can experience is to grab somebody, take them out of the death waters, and bring them into the church life so that they may grow, experience the eternal life, and continue to mature in life.
Amen.
That's awesome, right? Man, this is the best feeling that we can have. And this should be our desire and our yearning to be what? A branch in the vine. To be a branch to produce fruit. And so this is our desire day by day. But we don't do it alone. We're in coordination, and we're in accord with one another. And so another thing I'd like to talk about, I mentioned a little bit on branches, but another one is ambassador. You know what is an ambassador? An ambassador is someone who represents Christ. And so an ambassador is not someone who represents their country in their country. Usually, and all the time, they're in another country. They're in another land. And so the same with us as ambassadors of Christ. We're in the kingdom of Satan. We're in the realm of Satan. We've been as the moment we received Christ as the seed of life, we became what? A good seed. We became a good seed. But this good seed is in the field, as the verse says. But the field is the world. And so as soon as we received this life came inside of us and transferred us into the kingdom of God. And so now as we're in living and trying to practice to be in the kingdom of God, we still need to go to school. We still need to go to work. We have to do many things. But as we're doing those things, we need to realize that I'm an ambassador. You know, ambassadors are very special people. You know, there's a sister in the church in Boston who's an ambassador. She's an ambassador of Peru. And she's living in Boston for, I think, 5 years. And I can only imagine, as she's here for, you know, she's in Boston, she's living there, you know, like how important she is to, as a representative of Peru. You know, imagine she came, I mean, she doesn't do this, but imagine if she came to the meeting all like, you know, late and hair all everywhere and like no shoe on, you know. It would be kind of weird, right? Because she's an ambassador of her country. An ambassador is someone who, you know, has some dignity. In the same way, we're an ambassador of Christ. And we should feel some kind of dignity in our being. Wow. And as we go to school, as we go to work, we're there to represent Christ and to deliver people out of the kingdom of Satan and to bring them into the kingdom of God. But in order, the verse here says this, I'll read it to you, 2 Corinthians 5:20. It says, on behalf of Christ, that we are ambassadors, as God entreats you through us, we beseech you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. What is it to be reconciled to God? To be reconciled to God means that we have nothing between us and God. And so sometimes we have sins that hinder our relationship with the Lord. You know, we need to confess those sins. Because this is not a matter, all these things is not a matter, all these statuses are not a matter of what we do, but it's who we are. You know, we are ambassadors. We're good seeds. We're branches. We're priests. And we're members of the body of Christ. And so a lot of times in our experience, there are sins that hinder us from expressing Christ to others. And so we must clear up those sins so that we can bring others to also be reconciled to God. Amen. So one more experience on this matter of priests. You know, when I was in high school, I had one of my favorite or best friends. He always knew, you know, I would go to conferences and retreats or true schools, but I never really spoke to him about anything that I got into. But as I got older, I had this experience of praying for him every time the Lord would remember me, bring up his name. And so I would pray about him, pray for him with my friends. And one day, when it was my first semester, I don't know if you all are familiar with, you know, the training. I'm sure a lot of you are. My first semester in the training, I was praying for him and with, you know, some other brothers. And then he calls me, and he knows I'm in this, you know, in the training. And he just has a problem. And we start talking. And then at the end, something in me was just like, hey, his name is Ozzy. Hey, Ozzy, do you want to receive the Lord right now? And he was like, yes, yes. And as we were there, I was on the phone. It was just a little break time. I just tell him just to follow me, just to repeat whatever I say, you say. And we just prayed together. And after that call, you know, we just said, okay, I had to go. I was like, okay, bye. All right. And I turn around and it's already like dinner time. I'm just like, yes. You know, it's awesome to bring someone to Christ, especially those who you care about. You know, to be a priest, you know, in the Old Testament, the priests would wear a breastplate and they will have the names of the 12 tribes of Israel engraved on their breasts. And these names would light up. And so a lot of times we need names to light up in our being so that we could be also priests who bring what? God to man and man to God. So I hope everyone has some, all of you have a few names on your heart. You know, your friends at school, your family members, ones who you can pray for to bring God to them and then bring man to God, bring them to God. Amen. And so I'd just like to say, as we are experiencing these things, the Lord will touch us, like I said before, in our ways of speaking to one another and our ways of living our Christian life. And so I'm a person who likes to, joke around a lot. And so, you know, the way we speak, the way we joke can hinder the flow of Christ. And so I've been touched and even told, you know, to be careful. You know, be careful how you speak, because we want, as branches in the vine, we want the life of Christ to flow freely. We don't want any blockages in our being. And so just to leave you with one verse here, Revelation. Revelation 3:8. If you look it up in the footnote there, the footnote on little power, there's a phrase that says little power. And so if you look that up and you read that footnote in your own time, it says something like, the little power indicates that what pleases the Lord is not our doing much for him. So don't try to go out there and do much for him on your own. Find first companions and pray. But it's not doing much for him, but is our doing our best for him with what we have. So a prayer, a good prayer that you all can write down is, Lord, how about we just, as you write down, repeat. Lord,
I just want to do the best
with what I have.
Lord,
please just use me. So I'll go from the top again. Lord, I just want to do the best with what I have. Lord, please just use me as much as possible. Lord, please just use me as much as possible. Okay. I open to you. In myself, I'm not much. But in you, I'm an ambassador. I'm a good seed. I'm a branch. Priest. Member of your body. And member of the household of God. Please use me as much as you can. Amen. So did everybody get it? Okay, I'll read it again. Lord, I just want to do the best with what I have, okay? Lord, please just use me as much as possible. I open to you. In myself, I'm not much. But in you, I'm an ambassador. I'm a good seed. I'm a branch. I'm a priest. I'm a member of your body and a member of the household of God. Please use me as much as you can. Amen. When we have all this, when we pray this daily in our personal times with the Lord and maybe later in our small groups, when it's time to have your own prayer time, you can pray this to the Lord. Amen.
a lot of time for you to share either from this morning or from last night.